I'd ask you to open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. It's kind of interesting. The Lord always asks questions and he poses questions. And he asked me these questions first before he ever asked you. Okay? He didn't say, I have this question for you, or I have this question for you, or you, or you. He's asking us all this question. The question that he poses to you and I this morning is this: what dominates you? What influences you the most? Because whatever influences you the most is what you come under the control of. And this is just an interesting story in John chapter 3, how a man was walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden it was time for him to step out of the way and let the next man take his place, the man Jesus Christ. So look with me in John 3, and I'm going to begin to read in verse number 27. This is John the Baptist. He says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And it was really something, because I saw this picture of someone, a woman, that was infatuated with a man, that was in love with a man, and a man that was in love with a woman. And there's a marriage ceremony. And there's the best man steps out of the way so that the groom can receive his bride. And when you see the love in the groom's eyes and you see the love in the bride's eyes, his heart was rejoicing. Amen. This wasn't his any longer. He was stepping out of the way so that the groom. And God wants you to understand that we are the bride of Christ. And that there's a love that flows from him to you and I. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're into, his love is abounding towards you. He says, we're still in the engagement process, but one day we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to be united with our husband. Amen. Amen. So today, the title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, I've titled this, The Dominator. The Dominator. And today we want to look at the delight, the dominion, and the degree. Amen? The delight, the dominion, and the degree. Are you with me? Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here in the house of God? Repeat after me. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, your servant. I am listening. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me, in Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God. I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful that you sent your word here today to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one that is gathered together today. Lord, I ask you again, as always, Lord, I ask you to get Carl out of your way. May this vessel be unclogged so that you flow through it, Father God. And Lord, as your word goes forth, it will build up, it will encourage, it will comfort the hearers in the place today. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when you, I keep seeing this picture of this groom and this bride, and I see this picture of the love that permeates, that flows, and that's the love that we have from God. Amen. And it looks like this. One of the things he was saying is John said, therefore is my joy fulfilled. Amen. And in other words, the delight. Amen. So look with me in Psalms 126. I'll be all the way through the word today, as every time I speak. So if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, you might want to jot down and reflect back. You know, and Psalms 126, the children of Israel have just been delivered out of captivity. Has God delivered anybody from anything in the room? Come on. All right. And the word of God says in verse number 2, he says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord have done great things for them. The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. You know, has God done something great for you? Amen. Hey, just like Greg stood up, does somebody have something quick they want to stand up and give God the glory for? Hey, you don't have to be practiced for this. It's just about giving the Lord praise for something. Amen. Anybody?
Hey. I'm glad to be planted in this church.
Amen. Who else? Happy, glad for something. What's the Lord done? Happy you still have your job. The devil tried to take that, didn't he? Hallelujah. He didn't get it, did he? Who else? Yes. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Health. Praise God. Anybody else? Yes. Happy to be with the family. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yeah. Hello. The love he poured out on the cross of Calvary. Yes. Happy that the Lord's the strength of the song. Anybody else? You see, when we come together, this is a celebration. You know, just as John the Baptist was seeing who he was serving, all of a sudden, he was getting out of the groom's way. Amen? Look with me in Isaiah chapter 61. Excuse me if I get a little excited. You think it's okay to get excited in church?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is it okay to get excited about Jesus? Hello. Hey, man, I had several people talk to me and say things about the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. We live resurrected lives in Christ Jesus. Hey, we're alive and well. I'm alive and well. His spirit is within me because he died and rose again. Hallelujah. But in Isaiah 61, verse number 10, everybody said, please, Pastor, don't sing. Hallelujah. Hey, Alicia, how you doing, huh? He said, in verse number 10, he said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he have clothed me with the garments of salvation. He have covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. In other words, that before it springs forth, it needs to spring forth here. Amen. I don't know about you, but every time we gather together in the presence of God, it's a celebration. The Lord was speaking to me about different things that are taking place in the lives of different people, and God's in the middle. God is still there. God hasn't left. Amen. Amen. In other words, we are the bride of Christ, and He's looking for that consummation. He's looking for that day, and He is steady. He is faithful. He isn't going to cheat on you. Hallelujah. We serve a God that doesn't cheat. Hallelujah. You know, Jeremiah 15, verse number 16. The prophet Jeremiah said this. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." In other words, just as we eat food, the prophet Jeremiah said, I ate the word. In other words, I swallowed the word so it would have an effect in my life. Just as food nourishes your body, the word nourishes us. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the prophet Jeremiah said, hey, and when we read these things and we see these things, we have to not only chew on them, but we have to digest them. We need to get them inside of us so that they become. It's just like a seed that's in the earth. If you never plant the seed in the earth, it's never going to bring forth any bud. And then the same is with the word of God. This is the seed that produces fruit. Amen. This is the seed that produces good fruit. You know, and one of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about, turn with me to Psalms chapter 18. Just as Craig has just shared in his testimony how God had carried him through and saw him through. And verse number 16, the word of God says, he sent from above and took me. He drew me out of many waters or of the multitude of adversity. He delivered me from the strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivereth me because he delighteth in me. God wants you to understand today that he delights in you. That he delights in you. That his son has chosen you to be his bride. And like a father that gives away the bride. What do you mean the father that gives away the bride? It's the groom's father. But the Bible says no one comes to the father but by the son. And no one comes to the son unless the father draws them. Now, in other words, what God is saying is, you're my bride and I delight in you. Amen. Sometimes when we think that we're a total mess, God says, I still delight in you. Amen. You still bring joy to my heart and joy to my life. Amen. So he says to you and I, since he delights in us, he wants us in Psalms 37, 4. He wants us to delight in him. You know, love, it works two ways. It's given from both parties. And he says in Psalms 37, 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In other words, here's what the Lord's saying. God is saying to you and I today, he delights in us. Will we delight in him? Hello? I don't know about you, but again, when this picture is painted by John the Baptist, it's a picture of the love of God and the authority of Jesus. He said, therefore was his joy fulfilled. He said, he must increase. he must increase. So with that in mind, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to speak about the dominion. The dominion. Verse number 23. And the word of God says in verse 23, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? In other words, he has the dominion. He has the power. In other words, the waves were moved by the wind. Jesus took authority over the wind. The wind was the cause, the waves was the effect. And what the Lord was saying to you and I is sometimes when we're going through the storms of life, recognizing that he's in dominion, we speak to the effect and not to the cause. Amen. In other words, what he says, there's a cause. The cause and effect. And the Lord said this, and he says this to you today. When the winds of adversity are blowing, the winds in your life may be as a hurricane. It may be as a big storm. He says, I am the eye of the storm. I am the peace in the midst of the storm. No weapon formed against my children will prosper, and every tongue that rises up, they shall condemn, because it's their heritage. Not the one that's speaking, but the words that are spoken. If it doesn't belong to you, don't receive it. Amen? You know, we have to take dominion over things. Jesus says, hey, he's the one with dominion. In other words, that groom, the best man, had to step aside for the groom. Amen? Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. No, Ephesians 1. Excuse me. 1 verse number 22. The Word of God says, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In other words, get a hold of this. Jesus is in authority. You and I are under authority, so we walk with authority. Jesus is the authority. We are under his authority, so we walk with authority. Amen? We have power. Our words have more power than we realize. So many times we speak to the wrong words and we feed the wrong thing. Amen. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 22, yet last week we celebrated the resurrection. He said, speaking of Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Amen. In other words, every name named in heaven and earth have to bow to the name of Jesus. Sing this song, I Need You More Than Yesterday, okay?
You know? I need you more today than
I need you more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I need you more More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Than ever before, I need you more. I need you more. You're more than the song I sing. More than the net air, you're more than the air I breathe.
We're good. We're good. Thank you. That was right. As you know. Hallelujah. It's kind of interesting because I was in the park the other day and I was singing that song. I was singing, I need you more. And all of a sudden the Father sang back to me. And his words were, will you make me more? More than yesterday, will you make me more? More in every way, will you make me more? Than you ever did before, will you make me more? Will you make me more? And all of a sudden, if it's only I need you more, and he said, hey, you have it, just come under my authority. Come under my glory. Come under my power. Understand that I'm here always. And I said that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, that one beautiful thing about John is he recognized who he was and said, he must increase, but what must I do? I must decrease. In other words, I'm not the one in authority. I'm the one under authority. I'm the one with authority, but he is the authority. Hallelujah. And that's a question he asked you and I. Will you make him more? Will you give him the preeminence in your life? Amen. And I don't know. And he spoke to me in areas. There was areas in my life. And guess what? He didn't talk to me about any of you. He talked to me about me. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he says, the John the Baptist says, well, I must decrease. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. I was sharing with Milton the other day, and you know, he says, I must decrease. And the Apostle Paul was a man that was covered with humility. He was a man that walked with the spirit of humility. It was kind of interesting what the Lord was showing me something. He was showing me that when Judas betrayed Jesus and Jesus died on the cross, and he rose from the grave, when he ascended to heaven, disciples decided to do something in that 10 days. They gathered together and they took lots and they appointed Matthias. In other words, they went back to the law. All right? They drew lots and they chose Matthias. But Jesus, in Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, chose Saul of Tarsus, and he said that he was a chosen vessel from the Lord for his glory. In other words, what the Lord was saying to me, many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, Matthias was called because they appointed him, but you never see anything else about him in the Word. That was the only time his name was mentioned in the Word. But look what God did when Jesus called the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul had this. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said this, for I am the least of the apostles that I meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. You know, as a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to his student Timothy, in verse number 12. And the reason I'm saying this is because, hey, John the Baptist was being used greatly for the kingdom of God. He was the forerunner of Jesus. But he had to step out of the way so Jesus could be glorified. Amen? In other words, we have to recognize who we're serving. We're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're all just vessels for His glory and for His honor. And He doesn't share His glory. It's all for His glory and His honor. But the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in the first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, he had the degree is to step down in position. Just for example, if you get a degree in college, there's an associate's degree, there's the bachelor's degree, there's a master's degree, there's a doctorate degree. In other words, what John the Baptist did is he stepped down a degree. In other words, we got to step down to allow Him to be glorified. In other words, He says for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you and I in due time. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And that's one of the things that you see in the Word of God is that degree or that position that Jesus is here, that we are here, and the devil is here. Hey, so my sister was telling me something, and let me tell you something. In no way, shape, or form do I want you to believe that the enemy, the devil, is toothless. He's a monster. He has great power. He has great authority. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. In other words, God wants you and I to understand we have a formidable foe. He isn't no little weakling. And we are to be strong in the power of His might. Amen. It's the power of His might, not the power of our might. You know, the devil doesn't understand me, but he understands the Word of God. In other words, Jesus, when you speak the Word, He has to come into submission to the Word, because the Word is God, and God is the Word. Amen. Amen. I want you to understand that, hey, there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on. The adversary wants to destroy you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to steal your life. But God's came to give you and I life in the abundance thereof. He's not saying that we will not go through things in this life. But praise God, I never go through anything alone. Hallelujah. He's always there. He's my very present help in the time of need. Hallelujah. God wants you and I to encourage one another. We need encouragement. We need encouragement in the storms. That's why God called us to be a body. That's why God called us to come together in unity, to love one another, to help one another. He says, hey, we have some dominion in the name of Jesus, amen, but it takes our humility. In other words, we have to understand, he didn't say, I can do all things. We can't stop there. But I can do all things through Christ. Over, under, with. And in other words, we have to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. And we'll do this in closing. Hallelujah. beginning of verse, reading in verse number 1. Jesus. Verse 18, he said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is it the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted or transformed and changed, and become as a little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as a little child, the same shall be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one of such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast in eternal fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And in closing today, what the Father is saying to you and I simply today is this. That he delights in you. Do you delight in him?